Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Thank you, everyone. You know, tonight, like what Sam said, is a very special occasion for five of our friends who are going through baptism. So for tonight, I would like to talk about the topic of new life. All right, can I have the only slide up? And I believe it's a very apt topic because baptism itself signifies new life, right? When you go down into the waters, it symbolizes your old life dying away. And then when you arise out of the water, it symbolizes that new life that we come into. But I believe that this is not just relevant for the five of them, but it's relevant for all of us, right? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Correct. So we are all in Christ. We are still experiencing that new life. Right? The life that God has intended for us is still something that we are experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes it's easy, right, to forget. So it's good for the rest of us to be reminded as well. And later on, when we join the rest, you know, join the five of them in the baptism, we want to also take the time as well to rededicate our lives to God. Right, so that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm just going to talk about new life. And I want to talk about 4 points about new life. All right, so I'll just go in straight into that. But as I go through the 4 points, I'll be, you know, talking about the life of Jesus, looking at the book of Luke from chapter 3 to 4. Right, we won't be reading through the full passages, but let me just give you a bit of context. All right, in Luke chapter 3, we have Jesus himself going through baptism. So very apt, right? When we look at the life of Jesus, we are looking at his life from the time that he was baptized. All right, so just give you a little bit of context. You know, in Luke chapter 3, we hear about Jesus. He went through baptism, right? Like what Sam said just now, at the point of baptism, right? Jesus heard a voice from God, right? Saying that this is my beloved child, right? Whom I'm well pleased. Right, then after that, you have Jesus being led by the Spirit into the desert where he was being tested, right, by God, by the devil, and he overcame. Right, after that, then you hear about him, right, going back to his hometown. He declared, right, from Isaiah chapter 61. And after that, you have him, right, being rejected by the people of his hometown. And then after that, he went on to other towns. All right, I'm just going through very, very quickly because I believe that you should be quite familiar with the story. But as I go through it, I want to begin, right, later on when we go through several verses, I want to begin by saying certain things about the new life. Now, this new life, there are really many things that I can talk about it, right? But I'm only going to talk about 4 things. How many am I going to talk about? 4, alright? Only 4. Hopefully, enough time to cover 4. And as we go along, then we'll look at the different passages, alright? So the very first thing I want to talk about the new life is that the new life, number one, is actually a life of suffering. Everyone say suffering. Right, the new life is a life of suffering. So, for the five of you, welcome to the life of suffering. Alright. The new life is a life of suffering, and we have to understand that when God brings us into the new life, He doesn't, alright, listen very carefully, He doesn't remove the sufferings in our life. Right, before I became a Christian, I experienced suffering. After I became a Christian, I also experienced suffering. Right, but later on we'll know what God does about the suffering. But it's important for us to realize that the new life includes suffering. Now, some people might think that this is a very, you know, disheartening message. Then where is the place for blessing? Okay, so let me just put things in perspective. The new life is also a life of blessing. But it is both. Alright, so when you come to someone who tell you that, you know what, if you become a Christian, you only have blessing, no suffering. Okay, that's blasphemy. Right? Or if you come to someone who says, you only have suffering, there's no blessing. Alright, that's also heresy. The real Christian life that you can expect is both life of blessing and of suffering. You will have both. Right? In the midst of suffering, you also have blessing. That is the most accurate way that I can paint for you. So for you, as you go through, right, for the five of you as you go through baptism today, I emphasize a lot more on suffering because I think that today is a celebration. So we might not remember the part of suffering. But actually, it is both. All right, it's both suffering and it's both blessing. All right. Anyway, just turn with me very quickly to Luke chapter 4. So this is the part that we're going to really look at, even the life of Jesus, right? The kind of sufferings that he went through. All right. So let's turn to Luke chapter 4. It's not on the screen. So if you have a Bibles, can you just turn to Luke chapter 4 with me? All right. Let's not be lazy. All right. Let's turn to it together. Okay. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 4 verse 1. All right. This is what it says. This is after Jesus being baptized. All right. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, all right, went to church of our Savior, right, and then he got a lot of presents from the people. Is that what it says? All right, no. Okay, that's what our five candidates will experience, but that's not what Jesus experienced. All right, but instead the word says that returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. You know, so while here we are treating the, you know, baptism candidates to a dinner after this, Jesus, after baptism, got no food to eat, you know. And then he says, right, in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when it had ended, he was hungry. So, 40 days, no food. Very hungry, all right. And then you read the rest of it from verse 3 all the way to, you know, I won't go through everything, but you read all the way to verse 12. You see that for 3 times, the devil tempted Jesus. So, it was a time of suffering for Jesus, right? No food after baptism. And if you look at how the devil tempted him, okay, I don't exactly know how that took place, right? Did the devil appear in a visible form or what, right? But I guess in the modern day, you'll probably say this is like a spiritual warfare, or in maybe psychological terms, we say that maybe Jesus was hearing voices, right? So Jesus went through a time of suffering after his baptism when he was, you know, incorporated in so-called the new life. But he went through suffering. And this shows us, right, the life of Jesus shows us that when you talk about the new life that we have in Christ, it is indeed a life that entails suffering. So my friends, I want to assure you that even for those of you who have been baptized long ago, as you continue in Christian life, maybe at this point of time, you are discouraged. You are going through some kind of suffering and you are discouraged in your faith. You are asking yourself, where is God? Right, what kind of sufferings may you go through? I don't know, maybe you might be persecuted for your faith. Perhaps you come from a non-Christian family. Or maybe even among your friends, right, because you choose to stand up for certain values. They are mocking you, you know, they are ridiculing you. Or perhaps some of us may be going through depression. We are suffering emotionally. And it's a difficult, you know, process. My mom herself went through bouts of depression. So I know it's like when everyone things that you're okay, but actually you're not okay, right? And what else might you be suffering from? Maybe, you know, some of you are going through your family, broken families, your family, you know, relationships are on the rocks. Perhaps even your parents are going through a hard time. I don't know what kind of sufferings you are going through, right? But the Word of God shows us that even Jesus himself has to go through suffering. Alright, so I want to encourage all of you, no matter how big or small your suffering is, do not let that discourage you. Alright? But know that there is that promise. Alright? And that's going to come in the next point. Alright? Let's move on to the point number 2. The new life is a life of overcoming. Everyone say overcoming. Alright? Overcoming. The new life is a life of overcoming. And Jesus has shown us that it is possible for us to overcome suffering. Now if you look in, once again, let's turn to Luke, right? Look in chapter 4, right? For, because of time, we won't read through everything. But if you look in chapter 4, all right, let's look at verse 4, right? This is the very first time that the devil tempted him, all right? The devil said, if you are the Son of God, then you make the stone become bread. So it's real suffering, right? At the point that you are hungry, someone come and tell you, hey, make this thing become bread. All right, but Jesus overcame. He says, for it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Right, and in the next 2 occasions, he also overcame. Right, later on, if you read in verse 30 onwards, you'll see that Jesus, he went to his hometown, right, he was trying to preach to them, but they rejected him. Right, so what happened? He actually overcame as well. Right, actually, Jesus, if you read the passage, it's quite miraculous. Right, Jesus left the place. Right, the people wanted to kill him, but somehow, I do not know how, he just managed to walk through the crowd, And then he went on to other places. He continued to preach the gospel. So you see, that was Jesus overcoming. Alright, he was rejected by his own people, but he overcame. Right? He overcame that rejection. He didn't say that, okay, God, now because my friends rejected me, they don't want to hear the gospel. That's it. Enough of this preaching business for me. Right? He didn't do that. Right? So he went on to other places. He continued to share the word of God. He continued to perform miracles all the way up to the point of his death. So you see, all right, this is a life of overcoming. Right? Jesus came to show us that it is possible for us to overcome. All right, in John chapter 16, right, verse 33, shows us that. All right, Jesus was telling his disciples, he says, take heart. Right, I'll share with you these things about the trouble to come. Take heart. Right, because I have overcome the world. Right, so Jesus wants us to recognize that there might be sufferings in our life, but that he is the one who has overcome. And I believe in that there is also a promise for us that we are all overcomers. Alright? Very quickly, I want to move on to the third point. And this is the point that I really want to emphasize on. Right? If you forget everything that I say today, remember this. Alright? The life, the new life, is a life of being. Alright? Being two things. Number one is to be secure in our identity, right? In God. And number two is to be faithful in our mission. These are the two very critical things. Now, if you look in the verses, right, of how Jesus overcome his suffering, you will see that there's an inference, right, of how he actually held fast to his identity and he actually held fast to his mission. Alright, so when Jesus, right, at the point of time when he was being tested by the devil, right, two out of the three times the devil said this. He says, if you are the Son of God, then do this. You see that in the passage, right? It says, if you are the Son of God. So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yes? You say yes, give a convicting yes. Yes, he is. Alright? But he did not have to do what the devil tell him to do. Because the devil is very smart. Why? He's trying to trick Jesus. He says, if you are, then you must prove it. Right? But when you are the child of God, there is really nothing to prove. You are because you are, alright? God already says you are. God created you as his son. Right? So Jesus knew that, and he knew that he has to be secure enough in his identity not to so-called fall prey to the test. And young people, I think this is what we really need for our lives today. Right? That in many areas of our lives, actually if you dig deep into it, right, the root of many of our issues is that we are not secure in our identity. And let me say that again. If you dig deep, the root of many of the issues that we face is that we are not secure in our identity. Right? You may come to church and I just tell you, okay, turn to your neighbor and say that you are a child of God. Then you will just quietly and you obediently turn and say that you are a child of God. You know, Chris, you are a child of God. Ben, you are a child of God. We all do that. Right? But there is no powerful reality. There is often no powerful reality of that in our lives. So as such, we actually see our lives falling apart in many different areas. Now, I remember once in my sermon, I talked about, you know, the struggles I had with masturbation, right? If y'all remember that. And when I reflected about that experience, it was not because I was a pervert, you know. When I was really struggling with the habit, it's true, I have a lot of lustful thoughts that I was entertaining. But I realized that I did not start off that way, right? I didn't wake up one morning, alright, thinking that, you know what, I shall be a pervert, right? And I'm sure, alright, those of you here who are guilty of, you know, pornography, masturbation, whatever it is, you did not wake up and tell yourself, you know what, I should be a pervert today, right? None of you think like that. But what happened, at least in my own life, that I can testify of is that I had a deep sense, you know, of loneliness. I began to experiment with certain things. And then soon, right, when it first started off, it was, you know, just an exploration. But it started off like that. You know, deep sense of, like, loneliness, and then it just snowballed. Right? And when the habit kicks in, then that's where you become a pervert, right? So today, if you even have a chance to talk to those who are maybe struggling with habits of alcoholism, or, you know, whether is it gambling,
or whether is it even sexual habits, those people who are involved in fornication, if you really have a chance to hear them, to hear them out, you will know that they did not start off wanting to be some kind of pervert or some kind of, you know, or having some kind of uncontrollable, you know, lust in their lives. But they all started out with certain things, maybe a deep craving in their hearts, right? Those who can't get out of, you know, having partners after partners, probably they just started off wanting to be loved, feeling that they can't fit in, and just wanting to have someone to be there for them, to embrace them, right? And I believe that if you examine your own habits in your own life, most of us can trace it to some kind of, you know, a desire for love, a desire to know that we belong, alright? I'll give you an example. This one, most of the NS guys will know. Right? When you go to camp, you realize that even the Christians look like very different people. Now, I was in the ACJC for a few months. So some of my friends tell me that, hey, you know this guy, right? Yeah, he's actually a very nice guy. Happens to be my platoon, one of my platoon commanders. I said, are you sure? Because I went back to Ken, the thing he told us is that, gentlemen, when you're here, you'll be able to see my devil's horns. I'm thinking like, okay, if he's a really good guy, then how does that happen, you see? Yeah, but they say it's like, oh, he's a very nice Christian, he's a very godly man. So I do not know, alright? Maybe he's just trying to scare us or what. But the thing is that in NS, right, all of us guys, we know, we see a very different side of people. Right? And what causes this? To me, it's really a struggle, right, with our identity. In church, we know that it's important for us to live out the life as a son of God. But when we go into maybe a certain environment, we struggle because we feel that maybe the people there, they expect certain things of us. If we don't behave a certain way, we cannot fit in. If we do not speak their lingo, we cannot fit in. If we do not prioritize the things that they prioritize, we cannot fit in. If we do not hang out with the right clique, we cannot fit in. If we hang out with the people that we feel God wants us to hang out with, but they are the oddballs, we cannot fit in. Right? This, to me, whatever kind of these thoughts that we often entertain, actually shows to us that there is a very, very deep longing in our hearts. A very deep, you know, lack of that sense of security of our identity. And I want to share with you this today because I want to let you know that even Jesus himself was tested. But the key was that he overcame. Right? He held firmly to his identity. Think about it. Jesus was tempted. You know, the food that he needed, the food that he didn't have for 40 days, the kingdom that was supposedly his, but the devil taunted him. But Jesus could have done anything in his power, right, to gain all these things, but he knew that his identity was not founded on these things. So, same way, right, friends, we need to be secure in our identity. As a child of God, you really have a very powerful identity. And even if you are maybe in your school, among friends, you face rejection of all kinds. Remember that you are a child of God. The love of God, the love that God has for you is already enough. If you will remember that, then you'll find that you are able to emerge victorious even as you go through different kinds of tests in your life. Is that okay? Am I going too fast here? So it's important, alright, for us, right, to be aware that the new life is a life of being secure in our identity in God. Right. If you forget anything tonight, know this. Right. For young people especially, it's really important for us to know who we are. Never forget who you are in Christ. And the second thing that I mentioned as part of this big third point is that we have to be faithful to our mission in God. Right. Because when you read in the Gospels, think about it. All right. Jesus was there. He was proclaiming his mission. Right. That his mission was to proclaim good news to the poor, right? That was his mission in Luke chapter 4, right? In Isaiah chapter 61, where he was quoting from. So he says, I'm here, right, to preach good news to the poor. So he's proclaiming his mission, right? But when he proclaimed that, then the people turned against him. Mind you, it's the very people of his hometown, all right? So it's like you are in Singapore and you tell the people in Singapore you intend to do something good and they all turn against you and then you have to go somewhere else. Right? But you see, Jesus, he was so faithful to his mission that even after his people rejected him, he did not allow that to stop him. And what about he to do? He went out to somewhere else. So there's really a lot of things that we can learn from here, right? And as young people, or I think over the past few weeks, right, you have Joe Chien, you have Pastor Josh, you have Kamala, they have come. And I think they have painted for you a picture of what our mission is to really go out there to make disciples of all nations. Amen? Right? And sometimes it does mean that we will face trials, we'll face rejection. And what do we do if we are to be faithful to our mission? Then it means that we have to be like Jesus. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. Now I share one very real kind of things that I experienced in my life is that even at certain times, right, I see some of my friends, I feel that they are very open to the gospel, but for some reason, like for example, we grow up, maybe their priorities in life change, maybe they are no longer so free, they don't want to meet. So there is a part of me that keep thinking is like, these friends, I'm very comfortable with them, I want to be with them. But there's also another part of me that shows me that if I were to be faithful to my mission in God, it means that I have to step out of my comfort zone or to meet new friends, to get to know new people, to get to know people whom I may not even think that I will associate with, but because the mission is so clear from God that I'm supposed to reach out to them, I must, or I take the step to learn how to befriend people, even though I consider myself an introvert. Right, to learn new skills, whatever it takes. Right, so friends, all of us have our own comfort zone. Right, we all have our own comfort zone. We are all comfortable with the kind of things that we are doing. We are all comfortable with the kinds of people that we are familiar with. But if we are to be faithful to the mission that God has, that might even require some of us to go out of that comfort zone. Right, and I cannot emphasize how important it is for us to have that sense of mission very powerfully. Just think about it. Right? If Jesus were to tell himself, ayo, that's it lah. You know, my own people rejected me. It means that I'm not a very good preacher. I think I should quit, right, and go back to IKEA, right, be a carpenter. Then what will happen? None of us would be sitting here today. Right? But Jesus helped us to his mission. And I will say that actually for us young people, your sense of mission is very, very important, right? I see sometimes we get bored with life. Sometimes we get sick and tired of life. Why? It's because we cannot find mission, a sense of mission in what we do. I mean, if you really think about it, actually, a lot of things in life is really meaningless, you know. Like, for example, studying is good. I'm not saying studying is bad. But at the end of the day, if you do not have the mission of God, even studying, something as good as studying itself is meaningless. Why? Because as you study, you get good grades. Then what happens? You might not even get a good job because of your good grades. That's life. But even if you do get a good job, that doesn't mean anything. Right? You might get a good pay, but at the end of the day, when you go down to the grave, your money will still, you know, be somewhere else. You cannot bring it with you to the grave, right? So everything can become meaningless if you don't have that sense of mission and purpose. Right? But that sense of mission from God, you being faithful to God's mission, can add meaning to your life. Alright, so I just want to wrap up this point by giving you an illustration that I found was very good. You know, 2 weeks ago when Joe Ching came, he talked about the Jubilee Carnival. Do you all remember that? Then he says you can do all kinds of things, right, for the carnival, including manicure and pedicure, right? So those of you who are on Facebook group, then you see Fang Fang, she posts this, the nail class, right, where you pay for your, what, the nipple and the pusher, I don't know what all those things are, right, but she's basically using her gifting, right, to help people to fulfill their mission. So if you think about it, Fang Fang is just a coordinator. She does all the administrative duties of our ministry. She can say that, you know what, my job is not to share the gospel. But because she has that sense of mission, right, she's willing to be used by God. She saw even something like manicure and pedicure. There's a value, meaning, and purpose to it. Right, then I was quite surprised after that she posted that. Then, Charmaine, who shared her testimony 2 weeks ago, she also posted another testimony about her, you know, her fingernails, how she painted her fingernails, and, you know, she shared the gospel through that fingernails, alright, her painted fingernails. So, I hope that you all see that if you have the mission of God, the reverse is very powerful, right? If you are faithful to the mission of God, even something as simple as manicure and pedicure, God can use it for His glory. Amen? All the girls should say amen, right? So you can spend more time in manicure and pedicure. So I was thinking to myself, in the midst of all this fleeting beauty, God actually sees the true beauty of it. Right? So it's important for us to understand that the new life is one of being secure in our identity and being faithful to our mission. Alright? And the last point that I want to talk about before I wrap up tonight is in, alright, is the point number four, is that the new life is a life of hearing God's voice and knowing His word. Right? Life of hearing God's voice and knowing His word. How do we become secure in our identity and be faithful in our mission to God? It is through this last point. Right? It is when we hear God's voice and when we know God's word that we become secure in Him. Right? If you read in Luke chapter 4, chapter 3, just to begin with, right? Just now Sam said, when Jesus was being baptized, what happened? A voice from heaven spoke, right? And it was the Father God telling Jesus that He is His beloved Son. That's the voice of God. And it's not just Jesus who can hear God's voice, but it's also you and I who can hear the voice of God. And we need to know God's word. When you read, right, in Luke chapter 4, you see how the devil came to test Him. In fact, the devil was even using scripture, right, to point out to Jesus to test Him. But Jesus, just because the devil gives some Bible quote, Jesus didn't fall for it because He knew the word of God and He knew how not to abuse the word of God. He knows that you cannot use the word of God to test Him. Alright. So because Jesus knew the word of God, that allowed Him to be secure in His identity. And even after He was being rejected by the people, I believe that He held very closely to the words of Isaiah chapter 61, more than what the people were saying at Him. Right? And that is how Jesus is faithful, right, to His mission, is secure in His identity. And that's something that we all need to do. Right? The truth is that after I preach tonight, you will forget about what I say. I'm very certain of that. It's not that I think I'm a lousy preacher, but it's human nature. Right? After you hear something, you will go back, you will sure forget a lot about it. One. Even if you take notes, you won't remember every single thing. Even I myself will not remember everything that I say to you tonight. And that is why we need a constant reminder. Right? And that is why it's important for you to have a lifestyle when you constantly hear God, when you constantly know His word. More than just what you hear in your cell group, more than just what you hear online, you need to have that. Right? The truth is that God wants to speak to all of us. Amen? How many of you believe that God wants to speak to all of us? Raise your hands high. Right? We all believe that God wants to speak to us. He longs to talk to all of us. Right? In fact, in Matthew, right, the parable of the sower, right, Jesus says, the sower went about, he sowed seeds to the good soil only. Is that what He says? No. Alright? The sower, he went about sowing seeds to both the good soil and the bad soil. But the thing is that the good soil grew. And Jesus is calling us to be like that good soil. Right? He who has ears, let Him hear. And tonight, you can be the person who has the ears to hear. God is always speaking to you, I believe. You know, He can speak to you even as you spend time just sitting in His presence. He will definitely speak to you even as you read His word. But the thing is that sometimes we don't listen, sometimes we don't hear because we don't listen. Right? So, the fact is He really wants to speak to you. He wants to assure you of how much He loves you and how much He has a plan and purpose to use you, all right, to be a light to the nations. So I just want to end off by saying this, that is really very important for us, all right, my friends, to have a life of hearing God, of knowing His Word. And today, right, actually we live in a society that tells us many different kinds of things that is contrary to God's Word. So it's with this all the more that we need to be able to know our identity and mission by constantly hearing from Him, by constantly knowing His Word. Now, how many of you actually like to watch movies? You spend at least 1 month, you watch at least one movie. Okay, how many of you watch a movie at least every fortnight? Every week? Whether is it online or cinema, every day? Oh, don't have. Y'all know that movies are okay, right? Y'all know that it's okay to watch movies, right? How many of you know that? Okay, but do you know that watching too many movies is bad for you? Why? I'm sure you all know lah, but why? Have you ever thought about that or not? Because Pastor Peter say cannot. No, I also watch. Why is it so, right, that when we watch, maybe spend a lot of time watching movies, or spend a lot of time, let's say online, Twitter, Instagram, although I did a lot of that this week. But why? It's because through many of these avenues, we are influenced by the world. Right? I mean, when I was overseas, I posted a lot of pictures, you know, of like myself having fun, right, eating food. But I cannot imagine myself doing that the whole year round. What kind of idea would that send to myself? And what kind of idea would I send to you? You'll be thinking that, wow, oh, this pastor is a glutton, right? Yeah. So it's okay to be a glutton. Right? And the same thing for, let's say, the movies that we watch. Maybe some of the songs that we listen to. I'm not saying that these things are bad. But when you are constantly, your diet, right, your emotional diet is just these kind of things, entertainment and all that. After a while, you become empty and you forget. So that is why, in that sense, we have to really let our main diet be the Word of God, the voice of God. Everything else is okay, but only when you put your main diet on the Word, the voice of God. Right, that is why sometimes I talk to Christians. You know, I also know a lot of Christians, very solid Bible-believing Christians, like, for example, like, you know, Pastor Chris, right, Pastor Daniel. These are people who also love movies. You know, they can tell you all the different kinds of things that they like to watch and all that. But you know that they are stable in their own walk of God and they are stable in their ministry. Why? It's because they eat all the proper food first before all the junk. Right? So I want to encourage all of you to know that the Christian life, the new life we are talking about, is not a boring life. Right? It's not like today you are baptized, then you go back home, you have to live in a, you know, monastery, you cannot watch anything on a computer or whatever already. But it's to know what is the priority. And friends, for us, the priority is really that we come to this place of constantly hearing from God, seeking to know His voice, right, and know His Word. Amen? Right, shall we just stand as we close this time? And just want us to take this time to have a very quick reflection. We're going to have our baptism service, our baptism itself very soon. But I want to give all of us, you know, a time for us to very quickly reflect, you know, on this message. Right, let's stand up quietly and let's not talk so that, you know, we have the time and space to reflect. Right, and this is something that I've been wanting to share with you all for quite some time, because I really believe that our vision is to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And that can entail many different things. But one of the things that God really wants us to know is our identity in Him. Right, is to know who we are in Him. Is to know that He's really much more interested in who we are becoming, whether we are becoming more and more Christ-like. So I want us to even take this time, right, just to very quickly close our eyes and rededicate ourselves to Him. Not just those who are getting baptized, but all of us. And the question I want to pose to all of us is this. Are you living a double life? I know I've said many things tonight, but I feel that the one most critical thing for us to think about is, are we living a double life? Are we, like what I said just now, we are not secure in our identity? We might be in one place and we act like one person, and then in another, we act like another. You might be in a church and you act a totally different person from where you are elsewhere. And I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, but I'm saying this to point out that it's time for us to come back to the identity that we have in Christ. So tonight, if you know that you are someone who struggles with a double life, perhaps nobody knows, but you are already backsliding in your faith, tonight is really the night to rededicate ourselves to Him. As it says that, Jesus, I want to be the kind of person that you want me to be. I know that I'm a child of God, and I don't want it just to be a cliche statement, but I want to live it out in my life. I want to constantly seek the Lord so that I can be reminded of what it means to be a child. And I want to be able to walk in love, knowing that I do not have to strive, knowing that I do not have to gain the approval of other people, knowing that I do not have to compromise in anything about my life, my standards, my beliefs, in order for me to fit in anywhere. Because in you, God, I already find my destiny, my purpose, my identity. If that's you tonight, let this be a time for you just to rededicate yourself back to the Lord, shall we? Let's take a moment to do that. For on your own, just to pray first, to rededicate yourself back to the Lord. I'm also going to ask Lynn to just release some words that she felt for all of us.
Hi everyone. I've just been feeling something on my heart this week that God wants to say to you today. And imagine Jesus standing before you and asking, would you come, carry your cross and follow me? And there are three groups that this is going to be very specific for. The first is for leaders. I believe you love everyone here, your members, your ministry, you know, cell members, ministry members, your own fellow leaders and friends. But do you perhaps love them more than Jesus? And I think Jesus wants to ask you, what if the path that I've chosen to walk with you, it's going to go outside of this community. You will be misjudged. You'll be misunderstood. Okay, and a lot of other things will happen that's not nice. Essentially, the life of suffering that Pastor Peter just spoke about. But will you follow me anyway? To learn to see that joy in God, will you follow me if it's just you and me? The second group that this is for is those who have been disappointed by someone here. Maybe not one person here, but a few people, you know, your groups, you know, cell groups and whatnot. So, and maybe you're also struggling with issues that you haven't told anyone. You haven't even told your cell groups. You just keep it to yourself. Christ is asking you the same message today. Would you carry your cross and follow me? And when Christ died on the cross, he suffered. He cried out, like, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he didn't say, kill me now so that I suffer less. He didn't say, I give up, I'm going to die defeated. He held on to the end of his life. And so for you to carry your cross and follow him with your disappointments, with the broken relationships that you have, would you trust him and follow him through that suffering? The third group is everyone else here. If you know someone who's been disappointed by somebody else, or maybe they've shared with you directly, maybe you've heard it from somebody else, what are you going to do about it? Those people in the second group, they're here sharing this space with you, sharing friends with you, you know, and your mutual friends are all like those that, you know, you love each other kind of thing, right? But they're still feeling unloved. They're still feeling broken. They're struggling with things. And maybe you know, maybe you don't. What are you going to do about it? You know, and Christ wants to ask you, if I ask you to come, carry your cross and follow me to the broken, to the unloved. Even if it means putting down your pride, putting down your fears, putting down all the what ifs, you know, and how awkward this is going to be, are you going to follow him anyway? Because that's where he went. And we're not even going outside of this building yet. This is just within our community here. Will you still follow him anyway?
Thank you, Lynn. I just want to give a time for us to respond, you know, including my side. Really ask for people to consider rededicating their lives to God, even from walking a double standard life. And I believe Lynn also shared a few things I should talk about. For the leaders, we struggle to love God more, right, than our people. For the disappointments that people might be going through, either our own or even for the people that we know of. And I try to understand what's one common thing that God is saying for all these different groups. And I believe is that God wants to reaffirm his love. He wants to reaffirm that identity tonight. So tonight, even as if you feel that you identify with any of the things that has been said by either Lynn or myself, I do want to give a chance for you to respond, because I think there's a place for us, for some people to stand in proxy of God to just pray over you, especially to have a chance to affirm you once again, to pray over God's love for your life. But we want to do it in a way that we might later on not disrupt the baptism service. So if you do want to respond, okay, this is what you do. You see the exit over there, right? That empty space, as well as the side next to the console. There's a lot of empty space around. Alright? If you want to respond, you just move to those areas so that the leaders can be there to pray for you. Right? So that later, if we have the time for baptism, we won't disrupt your ministry time. Is that okay?
So I'm just going to ask Marcus to lead this song, and if you want to respond, you can just quietly move to the side, and the leaders, maybe you can just see if there are people there, then you can just go quickly to them.
Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Cause Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. You're the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. There you are, Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, you're my help in times of need, Jesus. You call me as your own, Jesus. And Jesus, nothing else matters. And nothing in this world will do. Because Jesus, you're the center. For everything revolves around you, Jesus, you at the center of it all. At the center of it all.
Thank you, Lord. The Lord will draw each and every one of you who's far away back to Him. And no matter where you are at this point of time, I believe the Lord wants to affirm who you are in Him and of the great plans that He has for your life. You might even consider yourself too distant, too young, or too sinful. But know that the Lord is the one who is speaking to you. He's always speaking, and He longs for you to listen. Tonight I pray for every heart to be that good soil, that you will come to this place of enjoying being in His presence and of hearing Him speak to you every day. so that in your life you will never forget who you are, and that with that security in who you are in Christ, that you will live a life according to what God wants for you. Father, I pray especially for those who are backsliding, for those who feel that they are a different person elsewhere, who live a double standard life. Father, you do not condemn them, but you convict them, O God. We pray for all of us to come into that place of repentance, to walk closely with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So all of us, we stand together as one body tonight, not just with those who are coming into the new life, but for those of us who have been experiencing it, but we choose to rededicate ourselves to you and say that we are yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.